And now as we turn to God's word for us this morning, I invite you to join me in praying our prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I'll be reading this morning from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the other throne, there were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive power and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." If the children will come forth, Nancy has a message for them.
I thought I was going to be all alone. Thank you for coming up. Good morning. Isn't this a gorgeous day? The sun's shining. There's a little breeze blowing through the leaves. What a great day God has given us to come and worship him. Do you know what it means when your mom says, "Stop, right now, stop"? What does that mean?
You should stop.
Stop and don't do it again, right? Do you know what it means when they say something's going to happen forever and ever and ever and ever? And it's not going to stop, right? It will continue on and on. And I've told you before, one of my favorite songs is "I Can Only Imagine." You have to listen to it. It's where I can only imagine what it will be like when I go to heaven and see God for the first time. Can you imagine? Well, right here in the Bible, God has given men the words to write down so that it helps us understand what will happen forever and ever because God is all-powerful, right? It says there's a throne in heaven, and that's where God will be sitting. And there are other spirits there around him, worshiping him. We come to church to sing. We were just singing a beautiful song. I like that song. And when you go to heaven, one of the things you get to do forever and ever is to sing. And that's a great thing because we love to sing. I hear a lot of people singing on earth. So if you love to do it down here, it's going to be fantastic up in heaven. So we have to remember that we pray down here, we worship God and sing praises to him. And what are we? We're most thankful for all his love. He loves us forever and ever. His love is never, ever going to stop. So we have to remember to praise him forever and ever for that wonderful gift of his love. So let's close our eyes and be thankful. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us such a glorious day to come out and praise you and thank you for your love, for the power you have in this earth, how you've created everything, and everything has a being because you created it. Be with us now and help us to praise you by reading our Bibles, by praying to you, by singing, always singing praises to you, and for showing others your love by being kind, telling them about your love. Be with us now through this week. Be with everyone involved at Bible school, and let your love show through to all those children that come so that they can know your love is forever and ever, never ending. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we introduced the book of Revelation. We read one of the letters to the seven churches. There are seven letters, one to each of the seven churches in Asia, that part of the world, Turkey and thereabouts. Some of the churches were commended for their faithfulness. Others were not commended, but rebuked for their lack of faith. The same could be said for churches in our world today. Some churches are truly living up to God's call in their lives, others are not. Some churches exist for the good of the world. Some churches exist as a club for themselves and their own enjoyment, their own pleasure. But the book of Revelation is written to all of the churches to strengthen and encourage those who are being persecuted for their faithfulness, and to shock into action those who have grown complacent. So how is it that John, this vision of John, comes to us, and how does it help us to enter into this story? How do you put into words something that is indescribable? Well, you draw pictures with words and images, and sometimes the images themselves are a little bit unsettling, right? I mean, the description of the four creatures that are worshiping God are something out of a horror movie, right? It's got the face of a lion, but it's covered in eyes with the rest of its body. And there's a lion, and there's an ox, and there's a human, and there's an eagle. And there's someone seated on a throne surrounded by 24 other thrones with a rainbow and a sea. Now, where does this exist? Anybody have any ideas? Remember from our reading? Where does it exist? Where does John go? A door opens, and he steps through it. He doesn't climb a ladder. There's no elevator into the sky. You see, sometimes our concept of this is that heaven is this faraway place, and there's this great journey that you have to go through in order to get there. And in fact, in other writing, some of it from early church mothers and fathers, and some of it in more contemporary times, people imagine these long journeys that they have to go through in order to enter into the place where God dwells. And yet, in Scripture, in this part of Revelation, a door opens and John steps through. Almost as if the door were to open right here next to me and I were to step through, I would be transported to this other place. But it's not a place that is far, far away. It's a place that's close. Almost too close for comfort. And it's a place where worship is happening and things are being revealed in magnificent, extraordinary, beautiful ways. Let's dive into this imagery a little bit together. John walks through the door and sees a ruler sitting on the throne, surrounded by 24 other thrones. Ideas about who the 24 are? Anybody? 24 hours in a day, perhaps? Maybe 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles seated together, showing the continuity from Old Testament to New Testament. 24 elders seated on these thrones encircling. Who sits on thrones? Kings, rulers do. Okay? But around the one main throne, there is a rainbow. What do rainbows represent in the Bible? Covenant? Promises? The one time we really think of a rainbow is in the story of Noah's Ark, right? Which we studied back in September, long time ago, if you can remember back then, where God puts a rainbow in the sky to remind God of the promise that he has made to never destroy the earth again. What does God use to destroy the earth in Noah's Ark, by the way? Water. The sea. Well, the sea is present here in this story too. Except, it's not stormy and tumultuous like it is in the story of Noah's Ark, but what is it like? Like glass. That's right. That's right. We sing this all the time. I mean, when the worship committee gathers together to choose music, I would say for every single week, a song is at least suggested of this image. This morning we sang one, right? Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns along the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, perfect in power, love, purity. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Actually, that song is next week. We're going to look at the Lamb seated on the throne and all of that. But this is imagery that we're so familiar with. It's the way that music actually teaches us about God's word. Music and song has a way of pouring into us the truth about who God is and who we are called to be. What is the song that they're singing? The creatures? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it's a never-ending song. It's played on a continuous loop. When I was growing up, there was a TV show on our public broadcasting system, Lamb Chop. You guys remember Lamb Chop? The way they would always end every episode of Lamb Chop is with a song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because it is the song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on, my friend. Played on a continuous loop until finally, you know, the screen goes blank and I assume all the puppets are put in the laundry and things, you know. Played on a continuous loop. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who is and who was and who is to come. And who is singing this song? The four creatures, the ones we talked about before. The ox, the lion, the human, the eagle, covered in eyes, all seeing. The ox is the king, the ruler of all the domesticated animals. No domesticated animal stronger than the ox. Who's the king of the jungle? The lion. The ruler of all of the wild animals. And alongside of the ruler of the wild animals and the domesticated animals, you find the king of all birds, who is? The eagle, the mighty eagle. And amongst the three of them, also taking their place as an equal, the human. All of creation, all of the creatures represented by this on equal footing, all singing their praises to God together as equals. All praising the one who sits on the throne in this never-ending song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who is and who was and who is to come. And then the 24 rulers, they fall down in worship at the hearing of this song and they cast off their crowns and place them at the feet of the ruler, the one who is seated on the main throne. Blessing and honor and glory and power to the King of Kings. What an amazing, amazing image we have here of this never-ending celebration and song of worship. So much of our worship is a reflection of the eternal worship of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now I want you to notice something about this. This is an image that John receives not at the end of the book of Revelation, when everything else has already been done and the redemption of earth from the powers of evil has been completed. It comes at the beginning of the story. It becomes at the beginning of the vision. It comes at the beginning of what is revealed, which means that this is an image of something that is playing out in our midst at this very moment. And our world, a reflection of what's happening here. If you're a student of history at all, you might know that the Roman Empire was an emperor along with lower governors, rulers, and things. And when the emperor would come to town, the lower ruler would cast off his crown in honor of the emperor being in their midst. What John is seeing here is that our governments, our power plays, are all poor reflections and bad parodies of this immense and wonderful and wondrous thing that is happening at all times, that which all of creation is built upon and which is reflected. And this is amazing in its hope for those who are persecuted, for the churches that are striving and straining under the weight of persecution from the Roman Empire. And it is incredibly challenging for those who are seeking power for themselves, who are deciding that the best way to live in the Roman Empire is to get along, so to speak, who are willing to sacrifice the truth of the gospel for their own safety and protection and promotion in the Roman Empire. All of this imagery, this song that doesn't end, this reflection of what is happening in heaven at all times, reflected in our world today. So what do we do with this? I think it's a reminder to us that this is not a 1 hour once a week kind of worship experience that's happening in our world. It's continuous. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from before you were born until after you die, a reflection of worship. And that we are called into participation in this worship, in everything that we say and everything that we do. Why? Because the one who created us, the one who created all of this, is worthy of that praise. And next week, we're going to look at the Lamb who was slain, seated on the throne, and see another way of looking at what it means to have power in God's kingdom. But for today, this is enough. A reflection in our lives of the eternal song of praise pouring forth in heaven as we speak, with doors opening and inviting us to enter into the song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for this image of your kingdom present in our midst and yet seen as if through dark glass. We thank you for those times when it breaks into our lives and we experience the fullness of that praise. And we pray for the inspiration, Lord, to live out our lives of praise to you, that all that we say and all that we do would reflect the song of the four creatures in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words this week of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.